You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. It'll be Alex Dunn, Will Smith and Amy Ryan in the studio. We've got Wolverhampton, Ayr, Gorham Park and Hereford in the afternoon. Chelmsford City in the evening. Sadly no racing at Sandown, but still plenty to go out this Saturday and you'll be able to hear it live with full commentaries and results as well as expert betting tips and advice throughout the course of the day. It's on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:25pm. And as an added bonus as well, you can watch the action at Hereford and Wolverhampton live and free on William Hill Betting TV. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Andrew Mount to look ahead to the action. How are you, Mounty?
Greetings, Mark. I'm all right, thank you very much. Not long to go now. Cheltenham is round the corner.
Yes.
And we're going to have a festival.
We are. Good news as we record this, that the festival will definitely go ahead, according to people at Cheltenham, the clerk of the course and so on and so forth. So, very good news.
Absolutely, and after all the worry of last week, will there ever be any racing ever again? Will Christmas be cancelled? We're back on track.
Yes. We're going to chat about some of the big races at the Cheltenham Festival in just a moment or two, but I imagine you're very much Cheltenham ready. You had a preview night the other night, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. That was Tuesday night in Market Harborough. Raised almost £800 for the Injured Jockeys Fund.
Good news.
Had a good turnout and some good panellists. Tom Messenger, assistant trainer to Dan Skelton. Paul Jones, of the original author of the Cheltenham Festival Betting Guide and at the races pundit, and commentator Tim Peters. So, yeah, all good fun.
Did you get any psts from anywhere?
Yeah, did actually, and shared a few theories about Dan Skelton horses and some of the handicapping methods. And got some nice snippets. I've got a winner for one of the handicaps next year as well. I'll keep that under my hat for 12 months or so.
Very good. And your young one is 1 year old now, isn't
she? Yeah, 15 months, yeah. So it's her second Cheltenham Festival. She's not aware of it yet.
Has she found any winners yet?
No, I've been a bit disappointed with her efforts, actually. I've tried to give her the form book, but she just tries to eat it.
The big question here is, which have you put more work into recently, the Cheltenham Festival or your daughter?
Childcare, obviously.
That's the correct answer. Good, let's have a look at some of the action coming up at Cheltenham then. Andrew has got four races for us, one for each of the days, which is nice and handy. Starting on the Tuesday, we've got the feature race of the day, the Champion Hurdle, a grade one, of course, over 2.5 miles of furlong. Epitaunt, the favourite at the moment, at 7-2. 5-1 for Pentland Hills, 7-1 Honeysuckle. Chileos Emery is 8-1, 12-1 for Darvas Star, Super Sunday 12s, 14s for Sharjah, 16-1 Fusil Raffles, 20s or bigger for the rest at the time of recording this. The phrase you hear most with this going into the week is it's the most open renewal we've seen in a number of years, and I suppose we haven't got the defending champion,
nope.
We haven't got the supreme winner, we've got the triumphant hurdle winner from last year, of course, but it is hard to figure out if there's going to be one horse that they pile into on the day, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of people saying it's one of the weakest renewals for some time, but that certainly makes it interesting from a betting perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do what I did last year and back Silver Streak each way. And he was third last year at 80-1. He was beaten 15 lengths, admittedly, and the race fell apart somewhat. But he was very much ridden for a place that day. And I think now they realise he's a genuine Grade One performer. That they'll be thinking, well, we can actually win this because we haven't got last year's winner. We haven't got last year's second. It's meant to be the weakest Champion Hurdle that anyone can remember in recent memory, and we're 25-1 and we're placed in it before. So why? The logic maybe. Let's look at last year's race and see if that was a stronger race, and perhaps we can get better than a 15-length third. Now, more interestingly, is his record for Evan Williams when he's fresh, when he's had more than 6 weeks off the track. He's had 9 runs for his current yard, 6 wins. Second by a neck in a field of 17 at Ascot, the Champion Hurdle third, and an unseat. So when he's had a gap between his races, he's really good. Now, after the Champion Hurdle last year, they went to Aintree. 2.5 miles was the wrong trip. He didn't stay. Plus, it was a recent run, so that didn't help. Rested over the summer. He comes back at Kempton on good ground in October. Wins by 8 lengths as a 9-4 second favourite. Short price favourite that day was Itchy Feet, who was beaten miles in fourth. Next time, he's gone to the Fighting Fifth. Now, he's not had long off, ideally quite as long as he needs there. He's racing on heavy ground, off a steady pace. Cornerstone lad, as we know, take nothing away from him. He's grounded out from the front, held on by a short head from Bouvardaire. But those who were ridden patiently in that race were at a big disadvantage. The favourite beaten a short head, and 3 lengths behind that one, Silver Streak, as a 7-1 shot. Next time, again, just 3 or 4 weeks later, so not enough of a gap for him. He's gone and faced Epitant at Kempton in Grade 1 Company, the Christmas Hurdle on Boxing Day. He's finished second by 5 lengths. Now, Epitant has raced wide on the outside of the track where the ground was better. So Silver Streak has stuck to the inside throughout, where I'm convinced it was slower. And the third, Ballyandy, has also raced wide, largely because he jumped out to his left. Mm. And he's beaten that one 3 lengths, and of course he's won since. So Epitant goes into the race having won a Grade 1 last time out from Silver Streak. Epitant's 7-2, Silver Streak's 25. Silver Streak's got good form at Cheltenham. Epitant hasn't. Hmm. Although when she was beaten last year, finishing 9th in the Dawn Run, she was hooded for the first time, which is a universal negative. One hurdler from 84 has won a Class 1 hurdle since 2015 in the first time hood.
That's a big start.
That was footpad. So one out of 84. Hmm. So did Epitant not handle Cheltenham? Maybe. Was it because she was wearing a hood, which she hasn't worn since? Maybe. So, which one? Mm. Weigh those up.
Nick Henderson's also said that she was suffering from the flu vaccine, wasn't
it? Right. Okay. Well, so. That's another reason. So, Epitant, I could imagine winning, but at the prices, I'd rather back Silver Streak each way, or Silver Streak without the favourite.
Yeah.
Or, now, the straight forecast, Epitant against Silver Streak at current prices is going to pay about 90-1. And all you're saying is that these two Grade 1 horses who ran 1-2 in their last race are going to finish 1-2 again on the same sort of ground. Well, there's a lot of people saying Silver Streak needs good ground, or is better on good ground, but his highest Racing Post rating of 157, he's run to 5 times. And in reverse order, those have come on soft, heavy, soft, good to soft, and good to soft. So, his three best runs, three of his best runs have come on soft or heavy going.
Mm.
If it was good to soft in places, I'd be happier than if it was soft heavy in places. But even so, at the prices, there's definitely an angle there with Silver Streak, I think.
Mm, yeah, I like the angle, 25-1. If you're going along the Silver Streak angle, then would you also have Cornerstone Lad somewhere near the top of your short list, given won that race at Newcastle, didn't he?
I think it depends on the pace of the race. If there's no other front runners, if he's allowed an easy lead, if it's not a disadvantage to make the running round the inside of the track, then maybe he could run a big race. But at the moment, if not so sleepy runs, maybe he's going to get taken on. But in terms of others in the race, I thought Course Sublime would appreciate a bigger field and stronger pace than he's been encountering recently, and he'd have a squeak. And it was those at sort of mid-price, like Super Sunday Charger, I wasn't keen on. Super Sunday on age grounds, Charger, because he's never done anything after the new year. He tends to go off the boil from sort of January until the summer. So, there are doubts about horses who are a lot shorter in the price than Silver Streak.
Yeah. Where do you have Dava Star in your equation? Because his runs over in Ireland have been very good. Finished close second to Honeysuckle in the Irish Champion Hurdle. Fairy House the time before in the Royal Bond. Wasn't beaten all that far by Envoy Allen, who's supposed to be one of the bankers of the festival meeting altogether. And he's in there at 12-1, a double-figure price. I just thought maybe he had an each-way squeak given his improvement this year.
Yeah, some very good judges have put up Dava Star as a bet for last year's winning yard, of course, and he's been very, very consistent. He's by Kelanisi, so the ground's not going to be a problem. He's won unofficially heavy going. I'm not totally convinced about the worth of the Irish Champion Hurdle form, given that it was a length between the first three, and I thought Petit Mouchoir perhaps brought that down a bit. Super Sunday wasn't beaten far in fourth.
Hmm.
And now the price is gone. He was sort of 20-1 last week.
22s when I first
You can sort of see the logic. And now you're thinking 12-1. Do I really want to take a chance at that sort of price? So, yeah, wouldn't be the biggest surprise, but I wouldn't be interested at the current price.
Okay, big price selection for Andrew then is Silver Streak in the Champion Hurdle. Moving on to Wednesday, and the final race on the card on the Wednesday is the Champion Bumper. Grade one as well, of course. Appreciate it. The hot favourite, shortening up all the time, 13-8 at the top of the market. Fernie Hollow is 8-1, 8-1 for Queen's Brook. Panic Attack is 10s. It's 11-1 for Israel Champ. Ocean Wind 14, 16s for Escalane. Third Time Lucky is 16-1, 20s for Darling Daughter and Fire Attack. Here Comes McCoy, also 20-1 with Julie Stowaway, and it's 25-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. Very open, barring the favourite, it seems. Appreciate it. According to the market, has already won, and it's 8-1 bar the Willie Mullins Hot Pot.
Yeah, interesting stat about Willie Mullins. We all know he's really good in the bumper. He's won it loads of times, but often with big price ones. Mm. This century, he's had 27 runners start at odds shorter than 12-1, so 11-1 or shorter. How many of the 27 have won?
Three.
One.
One.
Missed that as a 7-2 shot in 2005. So although he does well in it, it's often a case of throwing a lot of darts at the board and a big price one popping up. So, and appreciate it. You know, was it a fantastic race? Was it a breathtaking performance last time out, beating Risk Factor by 7.5 lengths? I know he did it easily, but it's...
Yeah, visually very good, but what was he beating, kind of thing?
Yeah, so I'm not, you know, totally convinced. And, you know, if he's the second coming, why was he beating at Fairy House on his debut in November? So... Would it surprise me if he won? No. Do I want to have anything to do with him at 13-8? Leave me out, mate. But there's two that I want to put up as alternatives. One is Panic Attack, who was with Willie Mullins when winning the listed bumper at Market Raisin very impressively. And I'm mates with the owner's son, Harry Drew, and the Drews live locally to Market Harbour. They come along to the preview night and give the lowdown on their horses, and you could not stop them purring about how well Panic Attack has been going since she joined David Pipe. Sometimes a switch of yards mid-season is not an ideal situation, but she's apparently been working the house down. And Paul Jones, who was on the panel as well the other night, basically saying she's getting £15. She's a four-year-old, so she gets the four-year-old allowance, and she's a filly, so she gets the female allowance. So getting £15 from Appreciate It could be a huge edge here, and she's 10-1. But the other one, more interesting and at a bigger price, is The Glancing Queen for Alan King. Now, she was my pick in the race last year when she finished fifth to Envoy LN. I put her up in an each-way bet with four places, and needless to say, she finished fifth, sort of 25s into 16s.
Like all good each-way bets.
Exactly. Now, she's an absolute star. She won first time out under rules, a listed bumper at Cheltenham at 16-1. She then went to Ascot, raced around the inside in the Swamp, did really well to finish third. The winner and second were wide throughout. And then she's finished fifth to Envoy Alan, and then next time gone to Aintree, won the 20-runner Grade 2 Mare's Bumper by two lengths at 5-1. Now, of course, last year's race, everyone's saying this year's Champion Hurdle is rubbish, but one thing people are agreed on is that last year's bumper was particularly strong because Envoy Alan has won it, is unbeaten since. Blue Sari was second, so he's not running at the festival. I think was he injured, I think, and stopped quickly in his last race. Time Hill was third. He's favourite for the Albert Bartlett, the best of the British runners, Philip Hobstrained. He's won loads of races this year, including the Cello. Abacadabras was fourth, and he's well fancied for the Supreme. Now, the Glancing Queen in fifth, second best of the Brits, and they couldn't run her in another bumper this season because then she wouldn't be eligible for Cheltenham. So they've had to go straight to this race. So she's been off for 340 days, thereabouts. But that's deliberate in order to turn up for this race again. So if it's a weaker race this year than it was last, which it very well may be, then she's not going to have to improve at all to get in the places. And of course, you could argue she's improved anyway because she went and won at Aintree in a huge field. So that's she's a fascinating contender. And again, she gets the mare's allowance. So she's getting weight from the favourite. So yeah, I was with Panic Attack and the Glancing Queen.
That's very interesting, isn't it? The weight to go for the bumper again.
I'll give just one other angle. So if that bumper's really strong, you could argue that having a multiple bet of all the horses who ran in the bumper for their respective races this year might be a good idea. So I did one. Envoy Alan for the Ballymore, Abacadabras for the Supreme, the Glancing Queen for this one, and Tyne Hill for the Albert Bartlett, And the sixth in that race, Sempo, is around about 14 to 1, I think, for the Coral Cup, trained by Joseph O'Brien. So that's your sort of lucky 31. Now, they're not all certain to go in those respective races, but, you know, wait until you know which races they're going in. And, you know, you could be find at the end of Cheltenham people saying, well, you know, why didn't we do that multiple? All the horses you ran in the first six in the in the bumper last year, so...
I know where I'm going after this.
Yeah, I mean, strange things have happened, but, you know, rather than buy three lucky dips on the lottery this weekend, you know, put a temper each way lucky 31 on or something like that, and who knows?
Who knows? I like it. How many runners would have run in the champion bumper in two consecutive years? It can't be many, can it?
No, I've not researched that, but I guess it's very few.
Mm. The Glancing Queen then at 25 to 1, very interesting selection for the champion bumper, and that also goes along with an honourable mention for Panic Attack as well. On to the Thursday, the 4:10 is the race that Andrew's going to look at here, and this is the Brown Advisory and Merrybell Stable Plate Handicap Chase, a Grade 3 over 2.5 miles furlongs, 15 to 2 the field at the time of recording. Simply the Bets, the 15 to 2 favourite, 12 to 1 for Ben Dundee. Annie Mark is 16s with Chosen Mate. Galvin is 16 to 1 with Legal Eyes, along with Old Grangewood and Robin De Foray. It's also 16s for Spirit of the Games, 20s or bigger for the remainder. Now, this looks like an absolute minefield, to be fair, Andrew, so you're a brave man picking this.
Well, I used to think that about this race until I started studying it a bit more closely and found that because we're on the new course, which often favours front runners, particularly when the ground's soft, this race you can narrow down by looking for horses who are likely to be prominent or make the running. Now, you go back 12 years, 7 of the 12 winners were described as having led or race or were always prominent. And you could just back any horse that had one of those two descriptions last time out, led or race prominently, and you'd be plus £95 to £1 level stake.
Wow.
7 winners from like 76 runners, but it's 5 from 196 for the hold-up horses. So being ridden patiently is not ideal. And when I sort of recounted these stats at the preview night, Tom Messenger was saying, I'd better text Dan and tell him to have Old Grangewood a little bit more prominent, because that was one of the horses that was well fancied by the Skelton Yard, was 16 to 1 Old Grangewood, who is bidding for a hat trick, but it's come late for both of those wins. Now, I've gone with one who's likely to be prominent. That's the favourite, Simply the Bets, who you know, impressed me with that win on Trials Day. Against Imperial Aura, who, of course, is well-fancied for his race as well, the Novices Handicap Chase. So that was the Timeform Novices Handicap Chase he won. That's a race that's often thrown up Cheltenham Festival winners. And he was described as having disputed lead most of the way. And now, the time before that, he lost his unbeaten chase record when second to Comanche Red at Kempton. But that was a huge effort because he jumped out to his left and was... behind from an early stage. Kempton is a track like Cheltenham's new course that really favours early pace, and of course he was going the wrong way round to actually finish second, and he had a subsequent winner on the slopes behind him in third that day on the slopes, because behind him again when he won at Cheltenham. So Simply the Bets will be up there throughout. He's a progressive 7-year-old who's unlucky not to be unbeaten over fences, and I'd throw in last year's winner as well, Cyril Dulac for the Nick Williams Yard, who made all in this race last year as 9-2. I think he was second favourite behind Janika, who was second, and he's only had one run this year, but he hadn't been working particularly well before that, and I think there was a bit of a doubt whether they were going to run him. That was 117 days ago. He's been rested since, and this is a race that over the years has thrown up repeat winners or horses who've run well in it year after year, and it's just possible that he could bounce back here at 25-1. It wouldn't be the biggest surprise. Nick Williams does really well with his handicappers at the festival. He's had 28 runners, 3 winners for a profit of £17.50, and 9 of the 25 beaten horses finished second, third, fourth, or fifth. He had 1 fifth place at 33-1 on the Fred Winter, which is generally a race you're paying 5 places on. So you could just back every Nick Williams handicapper each way and make a profit. So he doesn't throw many darts at the board, doesn't want to waste entries if he doesn't think they've got a realistic chance of getting some place money. So it might be worth having a saver on Cyril Dulac against Simply the Bets.
Cyril Dulac 25-1. Simply the Bets is the 15-2 market leader. And on to Friday's action then. We're going to look at the first race on the Friday, the Triumph Hurdle, a grade one over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Solo, the hot favourite after his devastating British debut. He's 11-4 at the top of the market. 7-2 for Goshen. All Mankind, 4-1. 6-1 Aspire Tower. Sir Psycho is 12s. 14s Away with the Sea. 16s McPasta. And 20s or bigger prices for the rest. He's been given a rather lofty rating, hasn't he, Solo, on the back of that demolition job, really, on his first start for Paul Nicholls. I always think it's risky to try and judge a horse on just one run, though. So where do you stand with Solo?
That's right. I mean, the thing about Solo as well, the horse he was up, basically they bet around two horses that day. For most of the day, Fujimoto Flyer was favourite. And then Fujimoto Flyer was fitted with the first time hood, didn't react particularly well to it, was got worked up beforehand, was dismounted at the start. Mm-hmm. And as soon as people saw her shenanigans, the money piled onto Solo. And you know, he won by 13 lengths. But you have to question what the form's worth given the way Fujimoto Flyer reacted to that first time hood in a class one race, as we were talking about earlier on. So yep. She had a massive stat to overcome. And in terms of time, the final time of the race, it was, you know, okay, but not, you know, earth-shatteringly impressive as far as the ratings I use. So I think it, you know, the 11-4 is an overreaction, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won, but I don't want to back him at that price. I can't have Goshen at 7-2. I think Goshen is usually talented. I think it's a fantastic horse, but he jumps violently out to his right, and you know he'll end up on the train tracks in Swindon Village. Possibly, you know, if he repeats that, his only saving grace is if it's the ground's quicker on the wide outside and he can stay in touch, and then he ends up hanging towards that far side rail where the ground's better, and that will help him keep straight and jump straight in the closing stages. Mm. That's one theory, but it's 7-2. I can leave him alone. So the one I'm with is All Mankind for the Dan Skelton Yard. So assistant trainer Tom Messenger put this one up at his nap, but my All Mankind story revolves around backing him for his debut at Warwick when he won at 5-2 by 37 lengths, backing him around about 5-4 in the morning because he was a qualifier on several systems, laying him back after about a flight in running because he pulled like an absolute train. I thought he cannot possibly win.
Yeah.
So I've done a few quid. He's then turned up at Cheltenham. I thought, well, he's a hard-pulling lunatic. He's not going to win here. He won't get home up the hill doing that. He's done it again. and he's won by 2.5 lengths from Botox Ha, who's and he lost a shoe, and then the runner-up's gone and franked the form with a graded win back at Cheltenham next time. He's then gone to Chepstow for the finale, grade one, and he's done it again. He's made all. For a brief moment, a fraction of a second, it looks like Cerberus might get, you know, might mount a challenge, and then he's just laughed at him and pressed the button and gone away. Now, Tom Messenger said it looks as though he's racing choke out all the way around. Mm. So he's not. He does for the first half mile. For the next mile, Harry Skelton is then getting his lungs filled up again, and then he goes again in the final half mile. Now, there, conditional William Marshall rides this one in his homework, and he basically sort of like runs away with him all the time. And I think Harry Skelton wasn't going to ride him when he made his debut because they said, well, you know, it's William's ride. It's not fair on him, though, because he's just going to, like, you know, run away with him and he's going to end up having a complete nightmare sort of thing. So it's, you know, so he's won and then he did. I don't think, you know, he even wanted to ride him, but apparently this is the horse that Dan Skelton gets up at 4:30 in the morning. This is the horse that, you know, he wants to watch working every time it goes out.
Really?
And this is the one they're incredibly excited about. And when I suggested that, you know, will he get taken on for the lead by Goshen or Aspire Tower, he just laughed. And when he stopped laughing, he said they can try, but it'll break them. So you know, and again, when you see a race when there's three potential front runners, it doesn't always transpire that they go off like lunatics and set it up for a finisher. Usually, like, a couple of them think, well,
yeah,
let's not ruin our chance in the first sort of two furlongs here. Let's sit behind. So All Mankind, my nap in the meeting, Tom Messenger's nap in the meeting, and you know, I'm hoping he's right.
Very positive about All Mankind then, finishing with the nap on our look ahead to the Cheltenham Festival. 4-1 at the moment in the market for the Triumph Hurdle. It all gets underway on Tuesday, of course, and of course we're looking forward to it immensely here at William Hill as well. We're going to get the thoughts very shortly on Saturday's racing with Andrew. He's going to look at the two big races for us at Wolverhampton, but before we do, we're going to hear from Amy Ryan and get a line on Rathbone in the Lincoln Trial on Saturday, and look ahead to some of her father's runners as well.
Cheltenham Festival live on William Hill Racing Radio. Altior just doesn't want to let his championship go, and he's galvanised by De Moiville, and Altior is going to win another champion chase.
Paisley Park has moved on by two lengths with Aidan Coleman. He's won all his races this season. Now he's won the Sun Racing Stayers Hurdle.
No photo required. Albon Foto wins the Magnus Cheltenham Gold Cup.
We're on air from 1 p.m. every day to bring you the best live coverage of the greatest show on turf. With our expert pundits in the studio, as well as the views of paddock judge Ken Pitterson live from the track, and 20-time champion jockey Sir Anthony McCoy, we've got every angle covered. There'll be extra place races and horse racing specials across the 4 days on the William Hill website and app. And remember, you can hear every race live and for free right here on William Hill Racing Radio.
Well, delighted to say that Amy Ryan now joins us, and we said we were going to look ahead to the Lincoln trial at Wolverhampton on Saturday, Amy. But before we do, are you well? You enjoying yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Yeah.
How's the? Are you still riding out at home or anything, or are you still keeping busy at the yard?
Yeah, at the moment I'm building a yard at home at the minute, my own place. But yeah, still riding out bits and bobs, and keeping involved.
What's the plan with your own place? And you gonna get your own horses, or?
Yeah, I mean, I've got my own horses, and then also to have horses on rest and on holidays and things like that. So anything that's paying, I don't mind. I'll have a camel if someone wants me to.
Very good. You've got Rathbone in the Lincoln trial. At the time of recording this, he's 9-1 third favourite, behind Fox Power at 5-2, 11-2 Red Bond, Rathbone then 9-1 with Casbarn, 10s, Via Serendipity 10s, 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. Been good form of late, two recent seconds on the all weather. Do you fancy your chances going into this?
Yeah, he's a horse, he's got tons and tons and tons of ability. He's just been quite frustrating, but he's really taken to the all weather over the winter. He's been second at Newcastle the last twice since we've stepped him up to 7 furlongs, and that's a stiff 7 furlongs. So again, we're going into a bit of an unknown, stepping him up in trip again, but he's really taken to the surface, and I think Wolverhampton may suit him because he is a hold up horse. He does need cover and he needs to get there late, so it could suit him. But as you know, around Wolverhampton you need a lot of luck in running.
Are you worried about Fox Power and Red Bond, the two shorter price ones?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to take a step forward again against some higher rated types, but his last run was a really solid performance, and like I said, he's taken to the surface really well, and he's taken well for the step up in trip. So he's a horse, I mean, he's got a lot of ability, I can tell you that, but it's just he's been a little bit frustrating, but that latest start was a real step forward.
In terms of the Lincoln itself, he'd probably have to win on Saturday to get in. You know, any other targets come Doncaster kind
well,
of time?
I know after we last ran him, I know the owner said, you know, the fact that he's taken to the all weather, if we can sort of stick to running him on the all weather for now. But you know, he's won on grass a few times as well, so he's a real versatile horse. And I think it'll just be a case of, you know, hopefully getting his head back in front and then making a plan going forwards then.
And then, of course, by the time we get to the Lincoln, runners back out on the turf. We're only a month away or so from the Craven meeting, which the Ryan Yard always does really well at. And are the flat horses coming into themselves now? You all systems go?
Yeah, they're in good form. We start getting them back in. They've been cantering away and they're starting to do a bit of quicker work now. You know, some of the horses with bigger targets have been away for a couple of outside gallops, and it's just a case of getting them ready early enough in case the weather does turn. I know we had snow in April last year, so we have to be prepared on top of that hill. But yeah, they're forward in the work and they're where we want them at the moment, so hopefully we're where we want to be, and hopefully we'll have a good start to the season.
Are you hopeful for the season then? Are you expecting plenty of winners?
Yeah, we've got some really exciting horses for this season, lots of nice 3-year-olds, and yeah, it's an exciting times. Not a lot of nice 2-year-olds as well, real well-bred types. So hopefully we've got the power going forwards.
And who are you most looking forward to getting back?
Yeah, I'm not meant to have favourites, but Juan Elcano is definitely one of my favourites. He's a real nice son of Frankel. He won at Haydock first time. He's placed in the superlative. Then he finished the season off with a third in the Champagne Stakes. So he's a real nice type going forwards. He's really developed over the winter. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
Good. Well, good luck with him. Good luck for the season. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, open William Hill Racing Radio, and leave the rest to us.
Yeah, great stuff there from Amy Ryan. Then back to Andrew in the studio, and Wolverhampton is calling. Andrew, good day of racing to look forward to. Where are the stats? Where are the key figures for Wolverhampton then, before we get stuck into the racing?
Yeah, generally speaking, this winter you don't want to be racing on the inside rail. It's often ridden slower, what you refer to as a dead rail. And just looking at the stats for sort of big field handicaps this year, 10 or more runners, handicaps over any distance, stall 1 just 2 from 43, stall 2 from 43. So, you know, ideally you want to be sort of somewhere between stalls 4 and 8, and stall 6 is always a good draw, because if the inside's okay, you're not too far from it. If it's if it's deep, you're in the middle of the track and you wear the best part of the surfaces anyway. So in terms of this race, we've got quite an odd race in the Lincoln Trial this year, because often it goes to a horse who's not raced since last season and is perhaps coming off the turf after a break of 5 or 6 months. And you could actually back any horse who ran on turf last time out and make a profit in this race. But this year, all the contenders have raced on the all-weather fairly recently. And that brings in Fox Power, the current 11-4 favourite at the time of recording, who was just pipped by via Serendipity here last time out. That was over this course and distance, the extended one-mile trip. And only beaten half a length that day, and possibly a little bit too close to that inside rail under Sylvester D'Souza, who hasn't been riding here that much this winter. Via Serendipity, well ridden by Hayley Turner to score that day. And I'm thinking the Stuart Williams horse from stall 8 might be able to confirm the form here. So Via Serendipity 10-1. Mm-hmm. I think I'll... the fact that he's got a verdict over the favourite last time out, and he's 10-1 versus 11-4 is... one of the reasons why I'm pinning my colours to his mask. Also, I'd mention Richard Fahey's Another Touch. He was fourth in that race, and they just didn't go quick enough for him. He really needed a stronger pace. He'd beaten Via Serendipity at Newcastle the time before, but he was just too far off the pace and could just never get involved in the shake-up that day. He was 15-8 favourite, beaten six lengths, but with a bigger field and stronger pace likely, he might be able to get closer or even reverse the form. So Via Serendipity and Another Touch were two that I was interested in.
Okay, a couple of big price ones as well, 10-1 via Serendipity and Another Touch 12-1 at the time of recording this. And that is the Lincoln Trial, and we've also got a listed race on the card as well, the 245 7 furlong listed race. It's the Lady Wulfruna Stakes, an all-weather championship fast-track qualifier as well. Urban Icon, the 11-4 favourite at the time of recording. Card Sharp, 6-1. 6-1 for Gulliver. Haboob is 13-2. 7-1 for Marie's Diamond. Documenting, I can't talk anymore, is 9-1. 10-1 for Glenn Scheel. Straight Right is 10s and 18s or bigger for the remainder. What do you make of the Lady Wulfruna?
I've tipped one up in Racing Football Outlook on Tuesday this week, which is Glenn Scheel for Archie Watson and Holly Doyle. Now, he was a horse I wrote up in the Racing Post Weekender after his last start, because he went to Newcastle on the 19th of February, where there was a very strong headwind. The track was massively favouring hold-up horses, and it was also favouring those who would draw middle to high and came down the stand side, getting more cover from the wind. And the winner that day, Sonard, stall 6, held up in rear, steady headway on near side of group. Rathbone, the runner-up, one of the Kevin Ryan horses, stall 13 towards rear. So it was Glenn Shield's run from stall 3 who made the running, which was the one to upgrade, because he had no right to finish where he did, because he was, say, making the running into the headwind, and he's still there and only just got beaten about three-quarters of a length in total, half a length and a neck. So that marks him up as one to follow. You know, he had plenty of horses behind him who had cover from the wind and who were employing the right tactics, but they still couldn't get by him. And stall 10, he's a prominent racer, drawn a little wider than ideal, but you know, a couple of slow starts on your inside and before you know it, stall 10 becomes stall 6 or 7, and he's got a good pitch. I'm hoping he doesn't lead, because if he leads, he might end up on the inside rail, where I suspect the surface is deeper, as it has been most of the winter. But there's three Mark Johnson horses on his inner, so the chances are he'll probably sort of just be in exactly the right position, just sort of second, third, fourth place, but off the rail.
Yeah.
And so Glenn Shield, the main play. The one I'm going to save on is Blown by Wind. We've not seen him since the turf season. He was last in action at Musselburgh in the middle of October, where he won by 3 lengths, coming from off the pace. Never always easy to do at that track. He's a rare Mark Johnson hold-up horse. So that's good, because he's got a couple of stable mates who might make the running, and so, you know, he won't end up on the inside rail. But the key here is that he's been gelded since his last run. Now, Mark Johnson, in the last 10 years, with his gelded runners on the all-weather, it's got a fantastic record. You can back them all, make a profit. But if you split that by track, it makes interesting reading. You know, Chelmsford just won from 11. Kempton, 0 from 23. So Kempton's a track where Mark Johnson's runners tend to underperform. But Sir Wolverhampton, 15 winners from 44 runners, first run since gelded. 34% plus £17.54 to a £1 level stake. Southall, a similarly high strike rate, 7 from 24. And plus £19.23. So the gelding might have brought about improvement from Blown by Wind. Mark Johnson's had 4 runners in this race previously, one, and 3 of them placed. So he's got previews in the race, trainers in good form, 4 wins in the past fortnight. And if that gelding operation has brought about improvement, then Blown by Wind could be overpriced around about 18 to 1 as well.
Yeah, 18 to 1 for Blown by Wind. Glenn Shield, the main selection, at 10 to 1. Been a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Mark.
Best of luck with your bets on Saturday, and hope you enjoy the Cheltenham Festival.
Yeah, next week, and I hope to see you there as well.
Yeah, we'll meet for a pint or two.
Good
been well.
Good idea.
Yeah, that's Andrew Mark giving us his selections for Saturday then, and a really good look ahead to some of the action coming up at the Cheltenham Festival. Thank you to Amy Ryan, who joined in as well, and you can listen to all of the action on Saturday on Racing Radio from 1:25 p.m. Amy will be back in the studio. She'll be with Alex Dunn and Will Smith. We've got Wolverhampton, Hereford and Goram Park in the afternoon, and Chelmsford City in the evening. And just a reminder as well, Betting TV, we have live free coverage of Hereford and Wolverhampton. So do check that out at williamhill.com and on the William Hill app. Thank you very much for joining us on this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.